And hello again, 11:47 in the morning, Jaymont GEA Radio, AM 1210, 100.7 FM, and on the web at airventure.org. And this half hour, we're sitting in studio with Julie Boatman from AOPA Pilot. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So during the break, we were just kind of chatting about some of the cool things you get to do at AOPA. You're a technical editor. Tell us what your primary responsibilities are.
Well, I write a lot of features. I do the technical editing in our production process for the magazine, but I also get to review a lot of new products, particularly in the avionics area.
And especially as it relates to general aviation, I assume.
Exactly, as it relates to general aviation, you know, owner-flown aircraft, private aircraft.
Now, you know, for a long time, business jets and airlines have been upgrading their avionics very successfully. Even airplanes are delivered with all the high-tech glass cockpits and computers, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But general aviation, of course, lagged behind mainly due to money, right? I mean, that's the primary reason.
Sure.
But now, as we've seen at AirVenture this year, we've got some exciting new directions going, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What we've seen over the past few years is there's been healthy growth, as you said, at the top end, where we have, you know, incredible systems in our business aircraft and airliners. And then also on the experimental end, because of the freedom that a home builder or an experimental aircraft owner has in what they put in their panel, they don't have to, you know, that have avionics that go through the same certification process that production aircraft are limited to. So we've seen great growth on that end in the past few years, with relatively little happening for the production aircraft owner. There have been several very nice but high-end systems that have been developed, primary flight displays and multifunction displays, and some very good aftermarket things to put in your panel. However, we've really hurt for a good aftermarket solution for primary flight displays and in production aircraft. But at this show, we've seen a couple of announcements, and to build on, you know, one or two that have been in the hopper. So all of a sudden, we have healthy competition, a lot of options.
And we were talking during the break, a lot of experimental airplanes that don't have to have TSO'd equipment necessarily,
yes,
what have you, have been using this technology for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And now here the FAA is starting to actually approve some of these for certified aircraft, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've also had, companies, some traditional avionics companies, also some, new entrants to the market who have a passion for avionics and have figured out ways to bring the technology that we've had in experimental cockpits, the technology that we've had in business and jet aircraft, and bring that to the middle in a way that both the FAA can get on board with approving for use in our GA production cockpits, but also be cost effective to install and time effective and, you know, relatively easy for the average pilot to learn.
I had the folks from Aspen Avionics in earlier in the week,
mm-hmm,
and I didn't even know this existed, but this is almost plug and play,
mm-hmm,
almost literally plug and play, mm-hmm, these new avionics.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been doing some comparison articles lately? What have you been doing at AOPA with the new avionics?
Most recently, I've focused a little bit more on enhanced vision systems, synthetic vision systems, which is another technology that we're going to see drive down into the average GA cockpit, you know, within the next few years.
I think we've all seen this YouTube video that's going around with the night vision goggles going into Aspen.
Yeah, that's an eye-opening thing. And I had an opportunity to fly with several different systems that are now on the market, Forward Vision, L3, Colesman, as well as Honeywell and Gulfstream and some other more high-end applications. But there's a real breakthrough possible on the order of data link weather on the order of GPS, as far as a safety tool, as far as a situational awareness tool, that for us all to be able to use cost effectively.
And just like everything else, from VCRs to, you know, alarm clocks, the price will go down soon enough. I'm sure a lot of people will want to have them right now if the technology exists. But what kind of price point do you think realistically that type of technology will be affordable by a general aviation typical aircraft owner?
Well, if you look at what some of the most popular avionics have been in recent years, Garmin's
530s, 430s, and all that.
The MX-200, you know, those are all within, you know, the $10,000 to $20,000 range, and then whatever it is to install, it's usually not that much in addition for those units. But if you hit that, then you can, and you have enough utility in it, and it's easy to use, and people like it, you can hit a critical mass, as Garmin I think has proven, and get people to equip at that price point.
A big thing here at EAA recently, light sport, right? It's a huge thing the last couple of years. Tell us a little bit about how AOPA is dealing with the light sport initiative as far as your publications.
At Pilot, we cover light sport aircraft in just about every issue. We see it as an excellent entry point to the market. And of course, you know, we're as interested in it as anybody in building more pilots and bringing more people into aviation. So it's an excellent entry point for that, especially if we can keep the price point for aircraft and at a reasonable point.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, two huge new airplanes this week, right? Cessna unveiling their new LSA, not the concept LSA, but the real deal sitting out there.
Yep.
That's phenomenal. That we were thinking last year, wow, if Cessna does this, it's really going to drive the LSA market. There's been phenomenal growth since we sat here last year.
Yes.
And then Cirrus, boom, they come on board. Here we go.
Yeah. That's, you know, to see our, to see two of our, you know, largest GA aircraft manufacturers come on the scene and buy into the concept. And again, it gives pilots a choice. It gives healthy competition to the market. And, you know, if you just look at the Cirrus and the Cessna LSA interpretations, they're two very different airplanes.
Fit
the criteria. And, you know, that's fantastic. And for those of us, you know, Cessna and history buffs, it's wonderful to see what a 162 actually is. I've always wondered.
Yeah, where is the 162? Oh, it's been missing all these years.
It has been missing all these years.
Who knew it would be an
LSA?
Exactly. Well, thank you for joining me this half hour. It's been great having you in studio.
You've got some
exciting things going on, and I appreciate you coming in and talking to us about those.
Thank you very much.
I'll get over and visit your booth a little bit later with the radio Hummer. We'll come over there.
We're doing a forum at 1 p.m. tomorrow at the tent to catch everybody up on the project, and we'll have Darren Tillman from PowerFlow Systems there to discuss the exhaust system that's on the aircraft.
Excellent. Very cool.